Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
Can I say something about the product?
Yeah, of course.
It changed my life. I'm 86 and my husband has Alzheimer's, and taking care of him was just killing me. And then I heard on the radio all about Balance of Nature and how it would increase my energy. It's increased my brain. It's just, thank you. It changed my life and give me hope, and I appreciate your help.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Receive 25% off your first preferred purchase of Balance of Nature. Plus, get a set of convenient travel bottles containing a free additional week's supply of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. With these discounts, you will still receive free shipping on every order. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Baby, here I am. I'm a man on the scene. I can give you what you want, but you got to come home and read. I've got some good old loving, and I got some on stove. When I get through throwing it on you, you got to come back for more. Other things have come by the dozen. I ain't nothing but drugs, no love. Hey, little thing, let me light your candle, cause the mama, I'm sure all the hand and I just around.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. Make sure and go over to the link on Patreon or PayPal and support this show. If you like this show and you like the research we do and the topics we cover, my gosh, please help us out and keep us on the air. That's how this works, because we are different than any other station or any other type of program out there. We are not told what to say, and we're not supported by big outfits that tell us what to say. And so we are on our own. It goes right to the show. And so there's no middleman, and it goes absolutely 100% right to the show. Please become a supporter of truth in media, because we surely need it out there. We love what we do, don't we, Melissa? We love what we do. We love it, and we have a love for it. And if you want to keep us on the air, you got to support us, and we surely appreciate that, because this is a product of the people. Talk about for the people, of the people, by the people. It's exactly what this show is on a daily basis, and we sure appreciate you. If you're supporting the show, thank you, because we need you. We need you. We can't stay on without you. So, Melissa, I want to keep talking about this for just a moment, because there's some great points, I think, that you need to bring up about this. We were talking about how in religion, robots are now sort of emerging as the next thing, as taking the place of a monk, taking the place of a priest. It's interesting, because I can't imagine it. But then again, I can, because of the way we're going.
Well, check this out. Here's the next frontier, right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're talking science fiction, we might as well use the Star Trek lingo.
Okay.
There's a church called the Way of the Future, and it was created by former Google, Waymo, and Uber engineer Anthony Lewandowski.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls it himself the Church of AI.
Wow.
And what they are going to worship, his intent is that AI will be the god of the way of the future. And that sounds really outrageous. I mean, when I read it, I had to read it like 3 or 4 times. So, like, what is he saying? What is he saying again?
Hmm.
But he says, although this seems like it would be just blasphemy, and it would be to me for sure,
yeah,
he says, wait a few years.
Wow.
Things that we are already beginning to make space in our life for AI. We are giving it more and more authority. AI is everywhere now. The data collection is getting more and more vast. I'll never forget, there's an Isaac Asimov short story that I read years ago, like back in high school,
mm-hmm,
that ends up, they feed so much data into the computer. The last line of the short story is the computer says, and let there be light, and there was light.
Hmm.
The computer became God, capable of creating its own things.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Will we, as people become more and more secular, and as everybody looks for something to worship, because that's how people are.
And describe that. I mean, a lot of people say, well, I'm an atheist, I don't worship. I don't worship God. I don't worship what you worship. What would you say to a person like that?
Well, it's a very interesting question, because David Foster Wallace gave a commencement address at Kenyon College, which is a liberal arts college in Ohio, and he has been kind of a voice for the secular atheists, although he doesn't consider himself an atheist anymore, which is interesting. But this is what he said about it. He said, there's no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship.
That's kind of interesting.
I think that's really intriguing. Yeah. And he goes on to talk about the human experience. We all will worship something. Some things are better than other things to worship. If you worship money, you will never have enough. If you worship beauty, you will always be worried about not being beautiful enough. If you worship power, you will spend all of your time conspiring to get more of it. But those are things that people worship in our world. And what is he makes another really interesting point that I never really thought about. The actual word religion, what does religion mean? It comes from a Latin word that means to bind. What have we bound ourselves to? What do we bind our hearts to? That's our religion.
Oh, it's interesting. Everybody's golden calf. That's a very, very interesting thought, because I guess we all do. I mean, I've known people that that, you know, kind of went into research and truth and intellect to a point where they removed themselves from worshiping God. Let's say they had in the past, but they removed themselves from that because they felt like they were too smart for that. Okay. Which is kind of the strange conundrum, because it's about humility when you're to me about worshiping God. That's about humility, knowing that there's a greater power than you, right? That essentially calls the shots. But what's funny about this is that, and not funny, I shouldn't say funny, it's intriguing, is that there are people that worship intelligence. Even though that intelligence changes, there are people that can worship that to a point where they actually worship themselves out of worshiping God, which is kind of it's a strange thing, but I've seen it. It exists.
Well, on a more pedestrian level, think about how many teenagers you know that have bound themselves to their cell phone.
So
literally,
true.
Like, it's always in their hand.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
They have actually literally bound themselves. Are they worshiping their cell phone? I don't know. I think you could make a case for it. They certainly worship the interaction that they're getting on social media. They're worshiping some things. And I think we see that the end result of that is some mental health struggles. Like I said, if you bind, whatever you bind yourself to, be careful about what the reward is that thing gives you.
That's true. Is it a reward of self-fulfillment, what you think self-fulfillment is? Or is it a reward of, I'm the smartest person in the room? Or is it a reward of, I mean, it could be a reward of a lot of things. I mean, we talk about these kinds of things a lot on the show because most of our country, I would say, a majority in our country believe in God. There's a significant segment of society that believe in a lot of things. You have Buddhism. You have a lot of different ideologies out there. But I don't think people really grasp that you can believe in things in the same way, or believe in the quest for something in the same way. Do you know what I mean? I don't think people really think of it in those terms. They only think of it as in the higher power, but not necessarily what they're placing as their priorities too.
Well, these numbers are kind of interesting. Only about 3% of Americans identify as atheist. I would have guessed it's much higher than that.
Yeah.
But 20% of the population and 30% under age 30 do not identify with any particular church. So that means there's a lot of, and I can see that, there's a lot of people who think that they are having spiritual experiences, and they're leading a spiritual life, but what are they binding themselves to? And that's a really profound question for me. You know, what do I bind myself to? What do I want to serve?
Right.
What is the end game there? As I worship God, the end game is for me to be a better person, to become more to embrace the qualities that God has.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I think when we substitute something else in, whether it's materialism or power or whatever,
mm-hmm.
what is the end game in any of those? It's very self-directed. It's all about me. Mm-hmm. I become my own God.
Right.
I'm worshiping the things that I want, and only mm-hmm. I can say when I have, you know, when I've achieved enough.
Right. It's kind of fascinating.
That's a really ugly place.
Yeah.
Those are not really good values to embrace.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was interviewing our guest on Friday about Guns and God, and he has Guns and God's Appreciation Day, and he's brought a lot of highlights to that as far as our Second Amendment. He's done a great job in having people discover the Second Amendment. But I said, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, how a majority of the nation that believes in God will also understand Second Amendment. That seems to go hand in hand. Not all the time. So for you atheists out there, I'm not trying to offend you. I get it that not all the time, can't brush a stroke like that. But it was interesting that it was called Guns and God, that people had an understanding of the Constitution, an understanding of God-given rights, and an understanding of the Second Amendment. And we have a lot of conservatives now that are being bullied into not being conservative. A lot of groups are wanting us to change our entire value system so that we believe in what they believe in. And I find that kind of interesting, too. I always find the correlations interesting. And then I find that more people are shutting up and not saying anything, kind of like the opening intro. Tim Allen and Clint Eastwood saying, if you want to be in Hollywood, you really can't say you're a conservative. You can't say that you believe in any conservative values. Constitutionalist, you're out the window. But, I mean, a conservative, even a moderate one, would have a tough time in Hollywood.
Well, take a listen to this. A student from Clemson University
mm-hmm.
had this to say. A conservative student from Clemson University said, I know a guy who chose to write a pro-border wall argumentative essay for our super liberal professor, and the professor just wrote, this whole paper is one big fallacy, and failed him. Me, I wrote about the evils of horse racing. I found a perfectly safe topic.
Wow.
Huh. You know, it's not just in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of Hollywood ethic has been growing by leaps and bounds on our college campuses. And my own experience will tell you that it's been happening in our high schools as well.
Yeah.
It's no longer safe. My own son came home and had to do a writing paper on a topic of a controversial topic. She wanted him to do a position paper. This was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Position paper on a controversial topic. And we talked about a lot of topics, and he said, I'm not going to do anything that has political ramifications. He's like, my teacher is very liberal, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it happen to other students. If you write something she doesn't like, it's just a scream fest at you. In
wow.
high school.
Jeez. I can't imagine stifling kids like that, but I
right.
guess they do.
So and this is my problem with education generally. We're no longer teaching people process. We're not teaching them how to think, how to make an argument that will stand up. We are all about what you think. And if your thinking is not, if it's not, mm-hmm. doesn't pass the sniff test, we're going to make you pay the penalty for that. That is not really educating people. That's propagandizing
yeah.
them.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
That's brainwashing.
If you wanted to write a paper on God, a very liberal, progressive, say, atheist would say, well, you're not proving God. But then what the person really should be saying is, well, prove he doesn't exist. You know, I mean,
well, yeah.
and that would cause somebody to think, right? Like what you're saying, that would cause somebody to come up with a concept to try and prove that. And you should actually be rewarding a student for even coming up with the concept, writing about the concept, attempting to write about the concept. But then what you're talking about is just stifling altogether. You don't even come to my camp of think, then you can't even write a paper. That's pretty sad.
Well, because the students already have triangulated it.
Mm-hmm.
They are not willing to step out there on the ledge.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Now they're censoring themselves. That's sad.
Right.
Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. More with Melissa Smith when we come back.